From up in the nosebleeds to down to the 50-yard line, wherever you watch the game, this is the place to sound off. Sports Talk with Jock on 770 CHQR.
So full disclosure on my next guest. We are very good friends. As a matter of fact, he hired me when I was unemployed a number of years ago at the Olympic Oval. He was the general manager of the Olympic Oval. He is an Olympian. He's an author. He was an original member of Canada's Own the Podium program with Kathy Priestner and Todd Allinger. He was part of the Russian Own the Podium program. He's now working with China and their Own the Podium program. But on top of that, he has time to change expectations in Special Olympics. It's the name of his new book. I'd like to welcome in studio Jacques Thibault to the program. Mr. Thibault, good to see you, my friend.
Yes, always a pleasure.
Yes. So you go from the high-performance world, and you're still working in the high-performance world, working with China and on the podium. You're now in the Special Olympics world. And first of all, I guess we should explain, for maybe some people don't understand, you know, we have the Olympics, everybody knows about that because we had the 2026 vote. We have the Paralympics, but this is not the Paralympics we're talking about. This is Special Olympics. So explain, first of all, Special Olympics.
Yeah, Special Olympics basically is a movement of sport for people with an intellectual disability. So they're in the same basic things at the Olympics, and the Paralympics are also part of the same movement, but it's people that would have like more of a disability that's right. Physical, right? So you might have an arm that's not working or something like that. So we're talking right now with people with an intellectual disability.
Intellectual. And it's amazing how far the world has come in, 30 or 40 years? Because, you know, back in the day, we were like, oh my goodness, my child has autism. We've got to put them in an institution. That's not the way the world works anymore.
No, like because of things like the Autism Society, the Special Olympics movement, basically, it gave a chance to people with a disability, like the intellectual disability, to experience basically way more, get out of institution, experience the world, can grow as an individual and contribute to society. But it's, you know, like it was definitely a first step. Now, basically, my thing was to write a book about what we could do to advance these causes even more.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I know you're very passionate about sport. And I have never seen you so passionate about something after you came back, you know, from your first experience with Special Olympics. Why were you so passionate about Special Olympics?
Well, you know, like most people, I had no idea. So I thought for sure, like, you know, going from, you know, Olympic athletes, gold medalists, you know, some amazing athletes from the, you know, in Calgary year. And I was going to go to a Special Olympics, and I thought for sure, you know, I'm going to be there, you know, pat somebody in the back and then go back home and, you know, I've done my deed.
Yeah,
I've
done well done.
I did my deed, now I can go on to the real world. But I realized really, really quickly that the potential of these guys and girls were amazing, and why they were not so good at what they were doing was not because they couldn't. It was because they were in a situation where it was impossible for them. And I said, well, like, of course we can do something to get these guys to be better. So at the time, they were getting ready for the national games, you know, and that was in Vancouver at the time. And we were asked, like, can you do something to get them to perform at a higher level there? And obviously, it was like, you know, a big flash that came from the sky kind of thing. Yeah, like, you know, like with athletes like this, you do a little bit and you get a huge, huge improvement. And then when you work with, you know, international athlete, you have to do a lot to get minimal improvement. So it was, for me, very, very easy to get involved right away.
Well, you know, and that's what's so interesting, because participation is very, very important for not only able-bodied athletes, para-athletes, but for special athletes as well. But the fact of the matter is, just like able-bodied athletes, you have to actually practice what you do if you're going to get better. And I think Special O athletes, what you're telling me is they can get better with practice and with the proper coaching and direction.
Yeah, I've been involved now for almost 8 years. I want to do all a mission, you know, like lots of times with an elite athlete that are in the Olympics, and my half of the other time with people that have a disability. And the biggest problem I find is that you know, like to be really good at something, you know, you've probably heard of the 10,000 hour that you have to be practicing in order to be, you know, like top of your games.
If you want to be Tiger Woods, 10,000 hours.
Yeah, so one of the problem with this is like Special Olympics, example, athletes are practicing only 1 hour a week. So it would take them over 200 years to get good at something if you're thinking that it's 10,000 hours is an objective to do that. So it's not that they couldn't or they can't. It's basically, you know, we just have to change basically the expectations about what is possible and what we should be able to do. And then these amazing athletes will, you know, have more self-confidence, be more independent, contribute so much more to society and to themselves, basically.
Give us some examples, because I know you've talked about some short track athletes that couldn't do crossovers, you know, just were happy to get out on the ice. But now they are not only doing crossovers, they're skating times almost as fast as able-bodied athletes and training with able athletes.
Well, like in all the sports, basically, that we've been doing, 18 different sports, athletes that are that have been, you know, changing basically their schedule of instead of once a week and being able to get the support that they need to be better, you would never know that they're Special Olympic athletes.
Is that right?
Like when you look at them, you know, we have some athlete that run the 100 meters in 11.0.
I can't do that.
Oh my God, like not too many people can do that. That's really, really fast. That would be, you know, like even for top sprinters, this is really good times. We have our speed skaters that are, you know, you would look at them, you say, okay, these guys are really good. And the idea that we do, and that one of the things that the book basically is putting forward, is that you don't need 10,000 hours to be able to be good at your sport or to have the basic skills. You need to be able to divide these skills into chunks that you can practice for 20 hours or so, and then you can actually acquire that. And then so what we, you know, if you're talking about dribbling, you know, a ball without looking, and if you do an hour a day and you do that for 5 days a week and you do that for a month, you get really good at what do at this. And same with golf and same with skating and same with all these sports. So by putting basically this new expectation, if you like, into the life of our athletes and coaches, we have been able to get to this level that's so amazing.
I think it is amazing because, you know, I know some of your coaches. I've read your book, and I will say this. Some of the skills, and it's about skill development, and you have to learn the skill before you can move to the next stage. Let's talk about golf for a second, because I think this is so unique. You talk to any golfer, and there's a lot of guys that just like, or gals too, that just like to get out, you know, and play a round of golf. But your technology and your step program with golfers, maybe just explain it first of all.
Yeah, like, you know, we work with professional golfer too, but basically what happened is the people with a disability, intellectual disability, have lots of trouble if you put many, many, many requirements at the same time. So, example, keep your arms straight and turn your shoulders and bend your knees and be so far from the balls and stuff like this. So in order for a program like this to be really effective, we would divide the skills into chunks, so that the idea would be that once you learn your basic skills, you'll be able to go on the golf course, play around with whoever in a 2 hour and 15 minutes, and you're not going to be holding up anybody. So we start usually by having our athletes practicing, example, an hour a day for 20 hours, and they have to be able to hit the ball 100% of the time. So you put the ball on the tee,
right,
practice, and then you with working with the coach, and when they can do 100% of the time hitting the ball,
make
then
contact.
They go to the next level, the next thing. The next thing for them would be you need to be able to hit the ball 100 yard to 150, 7 times out of 10 in the fairway.
In the fairway. 7 out of 10.
Yes. And it's...
That's not easy to do.
That's not easy to do, but Jokic, we had some people during the summer, actually, I have a cottage in Invermere, and they were practicing there at Copper Point with the pros there. And we had some of the athletes that were, after the summer, able to do this and to go to the 3 or 4 different steps and playing under 50 with people that with disability that had never played
golf, and they shot under 59 holes.
Yes.
And again, it's all about skill development. Learn the skill. Make contact, first of all. Then you progress to the next skill, which is hitting the ball 100 to 150 yards, 7 times out of 10 in the middle of the fairway. And then obviously you have to move to chipping. And so once you've learned all of the skills, then you say, now let's go tackle the golf course.
Basically, yeah, it's like this. So in the book, we give the example right now of golf, but there's 18 different sports like this. where it's all divided in little chunk or abilities, basically.
You know, that's why I find the book so interesting. And I made this comment to you after I read it. I said, I wish I would have read this book before I coached my kids with Timbit soccer, because I know nothing about soccer. I was a volunteer coach. I just had to, you know, go out and, you know, go run, go kick the ball. You know, I tried to make it fun for the kids. I could actually, as a volunteer coach, could have used the same steps in this book, and I think my Timbits team probably would have been a lot better.
It's something, you know, that works for everybody. That's you know, one of the things, example with golf, we realized really quickly that actually the pro that was teaching was starting now to teach, you know, people that don't have this ability with the same type of system, because it makes lots of sense, because it's not complicated. And it's not everybody that wants to be Tiger Woods. Like, lots of people right. just want to be able to play around. And then if you want to be Tiger Woods, then you go to intermediate skills, which is a different program, you know, after you've learned your basic steps. But in general, the result of this has been amazing.
Jacques Thibault is a special guest in studio. Changing Expectations in Special Olympics, that's the name of his book. I'm very curious, what kind of reaction are you getting, first of all, from the parents?
Well, you know, the book's just been out for about a month and a half, and it's amazing. Like, I have engagement to speak now. Like, I think I've got 5 in the next 7 days. And it's really been something that's been taken by everybody. And they have seen, and they, like, we're not talking about elite, right? You're talking about your normal person that wants to go and play around the golf with their child that have a disability, and they can, and they will be able to achieve that, because before the expectation was, well, you know, like, who wants to go and spend 2 hours on 2 holes, you know, because he can't play. And now it's the parents are so shocked that they have actually to themselves be better to be able to play with their kids, which is amazing to me.
Changing Expectations.
Yeah, that's the one.
And so what about the reaction from the athletes? Because they must be loving it, because somebody believes in them.
Not only that, but some of the people were talking there about golf. They are, the parents told me that the kid just thinks about golf, looks at golf all day. That's his only thing, he's focused on this. He can't wait to go practice. He has found a passion where it's something that he's good at, where he can excel. And really, if we're talking about changing expectation, is changing life, that's really the case.
It is so important. Yeah. So important for these young athletes.
It brings the self-confidence, the independence. Mm-hmm. Like, they can go to the driving range, they can go to the club. They are part of society, even though they have a disability. Like, it's, so when you think that, you know, in the 80s, they were an institution, and now you can see where you can be somebody that function and that mm-hmm. contribute and is happy. And that's amazing to me. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, and you can see and hear the passion in your voice, Jacques, which is fantastic. So you take, you know, a Special Olympian that has basically, you know, gone through the program and has become an elite athlete, because they can become elite athletes, right? And so, you know, you take another, you know, very skilled, you know, able-bodied athlete. Do they have similar skills, you know, when it's all said and done?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they, like, everybody. And I wanted, just before, I know the time's going, right, but I wanted to make sure that, like, all proceeds for this goes back especially to Special Olympics.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Yes.
Yeah, it's not something, and to buy equipment and, you know, they basically need all that stuff. And so they have the time and they have the solution now. Basically, they have the skills to develop. Mm-hmm. And lots of time they will need, example, the golf club, or they need the place to play and all that stuff. So this whole thing is linked basically to giving the chance.
Right. Again, you did this. No one makes money out of a book in this day and age, not in Canada, and you certainly don't. And, you know, you obviously, when somebody buys the book and wants to follow the book, I think it's a $35 purchase price, and you say, is it not that much? How much is
no,
it?
No, I think it's about $10.
Oh, is it? I thought it was more than that. Okay. I got mine for free. I got to make a $10 donation to Special Olympics, obviously, from that standpoint. But all the money goes right back into Special Olympics, which is fantastic. And where can, if somebody's interested, if they want more information, where can they find more information?
The best place to go is to go on the website, and it's Changing Expectation with a S in Special Olympics with a S, all in one word, .com. And you will have all the information and a place where you can have it, and more, even more. Like, you can also
You can get a hard copy, you can get a downloadable
PDF copy. Like, the idea is to circulate to this to as many people as possible.
Is this something that, you know, right now it's more in Western Canada, but could this be worldwide?
That would be the expectation for me, my own expectation. Yeah, like, I mean, some of our athletes that I've been working with are going to World's Games and they're going to, like, amazing experience. Because they are getting good at what they do. But if they are getting good and the other province or the other countries are not doing anything and people are staying basically at a very low level, it's kind of an unfair, things to do and give all this thing. So I'm hoping that this is something that's going to go around the world and for everybody.
You know, good on you for changing expectations, Jacques. That's good stuff. Thanks so much for dropping in.
Thanks, Jocko.
Jacques Thibault, again, Olympian, author, original member of Canada's Own the Podium program, now giving back to Special Olympics, Changing Expectations in Special Olympics. That is the name of the book. We got to take our final time out. When we come back, we're going to get to the sports geek of the day. Go nowhere. Keep it locked on 770 CHQR.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.